Lord, to be in your will is our desire. Help us to say yes, Lord, yes. In the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was talking to Brother Brian. I said, well, it might be a good day to be in a duck blind. He said, well, it might be a good day to be a duck. Maybe not be in a duck blind. But thank the Lord, God is in this house. He's also in the rain. He's also in the wind. But he's in this house this morning. And we want to study his word just a little bit, briefly, and go to the Lord. I tell you, the Lord's been good to me. And I know he's been good to you. This morning, this little brief lesson, I know there's a lot this afternoon going to be going on, so we're going to try to get through this quickly as we can, but we want to take time, let the Lord speak to us. It's what I'm fixing to teach on a little bit is no great revelation, nothing new, and I think that's what Sunday school lessons are all about, is to reach us and to remind us what we have to do to continue to be a good Christian. Amen, amen. We have to remind ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we get a little bit off track, and we have to remind ourselves, Lord, this is what I need to be doing, to be a growing, maturing Christian in you. Amen. I titled the lesson this morning, Spiritual Necessities. Amen, amen. We'll read one scripture, and you can be seated. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And Jesus is saying, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, they have their reward. What they're seeking while they were praying, they got it. To be seen of men, to be heard. Verse 6, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You can't get away from God. If you're praying to him in that closet, he'll find his way in that closet. Amen, amen. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. He knows your heart. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. That's what the Scripture said. Amen. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In that one Scripture is contained the closeness of God to us and yet his deity. Our Father. You close to your Father? Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm serving a majestic Father. I'm serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he is my Father. I am his Son. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we read that scripture, and forgive us our debts. We're not beholden to God money-wise other than our tithes and our offerings. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit later. But, Lord, there are some things that I have fell short of that sometimes I have to ask the Lord, forgive me of my debt. I fell short and I need you to forgive me as we forgive our debtors. Amen. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes the Lord lets us go through temptation. The scripture bears out that God's not going to tempt you. He allows you to go through temptation sometimes. And it's going to make you stronger if you persevere and you trust Him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. They want to look like they're fasting. And they want you to look at them as if they're fasting. Amen. Anoint, they have their reward. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's put in the scripture two times in this reading right here. If you do it in secret, he's going to reward you openly. Amen, amen. So prayer, fasting, and giving, and forgiving are spiritual necessities for a Christian who is trying to develop a dedicated walk with God. We need to remember those four things: prayer, fasting, giving, and forgiving. Amen. Paul was the writer of the book of Galatians, and he was instructing those people of that area to walk in the Spirit and don't be governed by your fleshly desires. And Paul was using the anointed scripture as the basis for his teaching. And it was appropriate for those Galatians back then, and it's appropriate for us today. Amen. That same anointed scripture and teaching is true for us today. And we want to look at the four practices necessary for a Christian to develop himself in a consecrated and dedicated walk with God. And there's no real order to these spiritual necessities so far as importance is concerned. We just need to remember that all four of them are vital to us as Christians. Amen. The first necessary practice is that we forgive others. Ask others to forgive us and ask God for God's forgiveness. And the second is prayer. It's so necessary for a Christian to develop a life of prayer and spiritual progress. And I know we pray together back here in the prayer room, but I'm telling you, where you get a hold of God and where you reach Him and He talks to you is in your closet of prayer. Amen. A lot of times when I'm back there praying, I be quiet and I begin to listen to what people have to say, and it touches my heart. I tell you, it moves me. Different people praying for different things. But I tell you, there's nothing like praying in the secret of your closet. Amen. You can express yourself. You can say things that you might be a little bit hesitant to say in a crowd. And it's so important that we find ourselves in communication with God in our prayer closet. The third necessity, fasting, is often associated with prayer. And the fourth thing is giving. We must be cheerful givers. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, of our time, our talent, and our money. We got to be cheerful givers. We're not going to be giving because we have to or we're told to, and you're not going to be blessed. You're just putting your money in the box. But we have to be cheerful givers. Amen. Amen. That's what the scripture bears out. So spiritual maturity is a result of developing all of these practices into a spiritual life that is pleasing to God. And today we've called them spiritual necessities. But I tell you, sometimes I think they're spiritual opportunities that we need to take advantage of the giving and the fasting and the prayer and the forgiving. Amen. So they could be called spiritual opportunities just as well. The first thing, forgiveness, is a very basic Christian doctrine of both receiving and giving. you have to forgive and you have to be forgiven by someone that has offended you. And the scripture bears that out, brother against brother, person against person. And the scripture teaches us that you're only going to be forgiven through your willingness to forgive others. You may be quick to say, well, you need to forgive me. I need to forgive you. It works both ways. We have to be willing to do both. If we do not forgive others, the scripture says you will not receive forgiveness of God. I said, if you're not willing to forgive, the scripture says you will not be forgiven of God. Amen. And if we're generous in forgiving others who sometimes hurt us or disappoint us, God will be generous in forgiving us. I tell you, I've heard it too many times in my lifetime. Well, I tell you one thing. They said so-and-so to me, so-and-so. I hope so-and-so happened to them. And they got what they got coming. They deserve every bit of it. Whew. That's not even close to what the scripture says. Amen. Amen. We need to ask for and give forgiveness. Amen. The first thing in forgiveness, asking God's forgiveness. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And therefore, because of that, everyone needs to ask for God's forgiveness. Amen. We're by nature sinners. And none of us have lived free from sin, even after receiving the Holy Ghost. I'll be the first one to tell you. I've done some things, said some things that I've had to go to God and say, Lord, you're going to have to forgive me. Amen. Amen. So God is good to forgive us when we fall short of His expectations. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us from sin. And when a sinner repents of his sin and obeys the command of water baptism, God will forgive him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, isn't it wonderful to know that He shed His blood? Your sins have been remitted. All you got to do is repent and say, I'm sorry. And be baptized in His name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And start on a life of being a Christian, of giving and forgiving and praying and fasting. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us from sin. Amen. Asking others to forgive. And the far-reaching effects of forgiveness are felt both by the trespasser and the one who has been trespassed against. I tell you, if we offend others, it's necessary to seek forgiveness. If we sincerely and genuinely seek forgiveness, the scriptures require the offended one to do so. Amen. The scripture tells us that if they come to you asking forgiveness, you are required. No, you don't say, no, sir, you just shouldn't have done that. You're supposed to forgive them. Amen. Forgiveness, a spiritual necessity. So we have to ask others to forgive us. Unfortunately, because we're human, sometimes we fail to bridle our tongue. And James bears that out in his book. And some, you know, I guess that's why the scriptures are in there about being quick to think and slow to speak sometimes. I tell you, sometimes you have to check yourself in the Holy Ghost before you say something you ought not say. Amen, amen. Sometimes that's not easy to do. You're ready to lash out. But let the Holy Ghost temper your words. Amen, amen. Because it takes submission to the Holy Spirit for any Christian to gain control over their human spirit and their nature and to learn restraint. I think about the word meekness. We've mentioned it before, and Brother Baggett's mentioned about Moses being such a meek man. Moses was meek in the fact that that word means power, but with restraint. It doesn't give you the power and the go-ahead to jump on somebody and just speak your mind. You got power, but you have to use it with restraint. You can't let power just run amok. It has to be harnessed. Who was it? Benjamin Franklin flew the kite and had the key tied to it. you know, and was going to let lightning hit the kite and touch the key and feel the effects. My Lord, that's unrestrained power. The man's lucky to have lived after he did such a thing, if that's what he did. I'm assuming he did. But thank God they harnessed power, and we can plug into it. We can use AC and DC current. But I'm telling you, we have to have the power of the Holy Ghost, but you have to use it with restraint. Amen. We have to be careful in what we say and what we do. Amen. We have to ask others to forgive us. And even a lot of times we'll suffer offenses that may be intentional. We are to be submissive to God's Spirit and choose the high road to forgiveness. We should be quick to ask forgiveness when we have done wrong, and we should just as quickly forgive those who have offended us, even when they're not quick to seek forgiveness. If anybody offends you, we have to be quick to forgive them. Amen. Forgiving others. The second thing in this spiritual necessities is praying. When and where should we pray? Jesus said in the scriptures, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. And there's no question as to the necessity of prayer for a Christian. It is necessary. And Jesus cautioned about praying as the hypocrites do in Matthew 6 in the scriptures we read. And it's very clear that he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, because later in Matthew 23:13, he openly rebuked them. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He called them what they were. And he said they got their reward. I mentioned that a while ago. When they're praying, making a lot of noise and hoping people's going to hear and see them, you've already got your reward. There's no need to seek any more in the life thereafter, because you've already got what you were after. Amen. And we're not to follow that example of hypocrites who prayed for a display, but we're to pray privately as well as publicly. And I told you, Jesus said, enter into your closet and shut the door and talk to me. Talk to me. Amen. Let me talk to you. I tell you, this thing is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. We talk to God, and we need to let God talk to us. Don't shut yourself in a closet and speak your mind and say your peace and get up out of the closet and shut the door and go. Stay a little while and let the Lord talk to your heart. Amen. Let His Spirit communicate with your spirit. Amen. The next thing, who should we pray for? Christians are to pray for all men everywhere, because it is the will of God that every person know the truth of the gospel and be saved. Amen. That is our mission. And we're to pray and intercede and give thanks for all people, including our leaders, leaders of this assembly, leaders of our country. And the Bible even talks about praying for the peace of Israel and for those people over there. I'm telling you, we got a lot to pray for. Amen. Amen. It's just not, Lord, bless me and my house in Jesus' name. Thank you. We've got a lot of obligations when it comes to praying. And I'm telling you, it's essential that we pray for others if we expect to live in godliness and in honesty. Amen. How should we pray? Our prayer should be very specific as we seek the will of God and the purpose that we want Him to accomplish in our lives. And he said that repetitious chanting of prayers is vain. And I know a lot of times we mean well, but I think sometimes we kind of get into a mode, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We're just sitting there praying. Well, that's well and good. But I tell you, the Lord wants you to talk to Him like you talk to your best friend. I mean, you can say, Lord, I want you to bend your ear because this is what I need today. And talk to Him like you would talk to one another. Amen. And let's not find ourselves getting into a repetitious mode. And because a little bit later on, we'll be talking about what to do about that. And like I said, our prayers are not a monologue, but it's a conversation with God. And it's very important that our prayer is not all talking, but is also listening to God. The scriptures in Romans speak of certain times when words just seem to fail us in prayer. And we just can't seem to express our intense burden sometimes. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you can't seem to get it in your mind what you want to pray for, let the Holy Ghost pray for you. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It tells us right here, the one that searches the heart and knoweth the mind will intercede for you if you don't know what to say. So if you're praying and you can't decide how to put it into words, just let the Holy Ghost pray through you. Amen. Amen. And it's in these times when the Spirit begins to intercede for us and creating those groanings which cannot be uttered with human language. Amen. And Jesus Christ, our mediator, our intercessor, knows what's in our heart and what's in our minds. And he helps us to pray for what we should. Amen. Amen. So don't ever get to the point, well, my prayer just ain't getting out of this closet. It's not getting out of this room. Don't give up. Let the Holy Ghost intercede for you and keep praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. According to Jude, we also build up our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We must pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, by looking to the Holy Ghost to inspire, guide, and energize us. Amen. Praying in the Spirit involves praying with your mind and your spirit. You're cognizant of what you're saying. But sometimes we just have to let the Holy Ghost